This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I've got the second part of Chapter 5 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Our Vatican assassin BC is getting to know the man who may be the most wealthy and powerful person in the universe. And he's kind of a horrible human being. Richard Wentworth has now summoned BC to his space station, so we're going to be making that trip there with BC in the second half of Chapter 5 of Vatican Ambassador that's coming up. Also want to let you know that the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale has now begun. That means that you can save 50% on the big books, big savings on the big books. So it's 50% off Vatican Assassin Trilogy, the trilogy, the third edition, the new one, and it is a 50% off of the Alibi Jones collection, too, the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. Both of those are usually $4.99, and they are now $2.49 for this month of July. That is for the ebooks of those two books, the Vatican Assassin Trilogy, third edition, and the Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus, at smashwords.com during the Smashwords July Summer Winter Sale going on now. And there's a link in the show notes to my page with my titles on Smashwords in the show notes again. I want to thank my patrons for supporting the podcast and keeping things going as we head into the summer months here. They are invaluable. You are invaluable if you are a patron. So my thanks once again for sticking with me and helping to support the podcast. I would love it if you're not a patron and you do enjoy the podcast, if you could become one and help support the podcast for $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month. And you can do that at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. Just look for the link to Patreon, or just go directly to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can find out more there and even sign up if you are so disposed. But again, big thanks to those of you who are patrons and do keep things going. We're going to get into Chapter 5 of Vatican Ambassador, Part 2 of Chapter 5, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's part two of Chapter 5 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Better go with Wentworth and explore my options. And I'd better pack wisely. Let's see.
3.5 hours later, Bruno rings the bell to the Vatican Ambassador's quarters.
Yes, BC says on the intercom.
We gotta go soon,
Bruno grunts. Gotcha, big guy. I'll be right there. BC has been packed for an hour, but for the next 20 minutes, he continues his meditation.
Maybe if I meditate, I can avoid the headaches.
Bruno can wait. I'm sure he'll ring again when we really need to go. A minute later, Bruno rings again. Yes, BC inquires pleasantly.
Let's go, now!
Bruno barks back. Coming, BC continues pleasantly. BC is packed for a priest's travel needs, not an assassin's. No weapons.
No subterfuge. I'm sure Wentworth has many levels of security. And when all else fails, big guys with clubs. Primitive yet effective. I'll be the holy diplomat this trip. Play the role, right?
Hello, Bruno! BC greets the goon outside as he leaves his quarters. Bruno grunts and turns to lead BC to Wentworth's ship. BC presses his hand against the security panel to seal up his rooms.
For what it's worth.
Hey!
Bruno calls back.
Let's go! You're already late!
BC walks up to Bruno without saying a word.
Here, Bruno says. You go ahead. I want you where I can see you.
Which way am I going? BC asks him.
Left, Bruno barks. Here, down to the private bays.
BC follows his directions, walking just ahead of the goon as they head to the ship. After several other barks and turns, they end up in a little used, isolated section of the Lunar Prime spaceport.
Little used, but amazingly intact. They rebuilt these private bays with private funds. Built them back up pretty fast, too.
BC laughs to himself.
Bet Wentworth's bay is at least as secure as my Vatican mission.
Here,
Bruno says, indicating a secure airlock door. Bruno presses his hand against the door's panel, and it slides open.
Go ahead,
he tells BC. BC steps through the door into the airlock. Bruno follows, closing the outer door behind him. He steps past BC to put his palm against the inner door ahead of them. It slides open, revealing a luxurious reception area. Wentworth's station colors, gold, red, and black, dominate here. Plush red and gold walls, black marble floors, a clear glass ceiling, open to the stars. There's just a hint of blue haze, letting BC and others know a security shield is in place. Three other Brunos stand against the wall opposite the airlock BC came in through. Another airlock door stands open between two of the thugs, apparently the airlock and passageway to Wentworth's waiting ship, docked outside. The thugs move aside when BC and Bruno approach. Bruno grunts and points to indicate to BC he should go ahead of him once again into this second airlock. BC has a sudden panic attack.
What if they're going to space me right here and now? No. Why get so elaborate? So it'll look like an accident, maybe? Shit.
BC calms a bit when Bruno steps into the airlock as before. He pushes past BC to press his palm against the security panel in the door ahead of them as the outer door closes behind. A quick hiss, and the door in front of them opens.
Go!
Bruno says. BC goes. He steps onto the ship and looks up and down the empty corridor.
Red, black, and gold. How original. Well, at least he's consistent.
Go ahead! Up and to the right,
Bruno directs BC in his grunt speak. BC heads down the corridor to the right. Bruno shows BC to a stateroom door.
Press here,
Bruno says, indicating the door's security panel. BC presses the flat of his hand against the panel. He feels a brief tingle as the door recognition systems IDs his palm. The door slides open on a relatively posh stateroom with a king-size bed.
This is your room for the trip,
Bruno says.
Settle in for takeoff. Mr. Wentworth will be calling you after that.
You make a great stewardess, Bruno, BC chides the thug. Bruno ignores him.
The muscle man turns and walks away down the corridor. BC walks into and surveys his stateroom.
Nice. A whole lot nicer than I'm used to, being a simple priest and all.
The stateroom door slides shut behind him. BC turns and puts his palm against the door panel, but nothing happens.
Locked, figures. Well, nothing to do now but enjoy the ride.
BC settles in for takeoff. It's relatively smooth.
I suppose Wentworth can afford the best pilots, right?
He lies on the bed as they make their way to the orbiting station.
It took Fiza and me 2 days to get to Wentworth Station on a commercial ship. I wonder how fast Wentworth makes the trip.
The bed is comfortable. BC actually manages to fall asleep soon after they leave the moon's surface. Wentworth's voice, booming over an intercom, wakes him up.
Campion, we're almost at my station. Prepare to disembark.
Rude awakening. Huh. Looking at the clock, it's been about 8 hours. Must be Monday morning by now. Oh, damn, a headache. Not now.
BC massages his temples, rubs his forehead, and presses his fingers against his eyes, trying anything to stop the headache from intensifying. Wentworth's voice booms out again.
Campion!
That's not helping.
Bruno will meet you outside your stateroom in 20 minutes. Be ready.
This sucks.
Gotcha. I'll be there, BC says into the comm. BC tries to freshen up. The stateroom facilities are top-notch, with a sink and bath with real running water. BC tries to hold back his headache as he gets ready.
It's probably costing him a fortune for me to wash my face right now. Maybe I'll just let the water run. Let the reclamation system crank for a while. Ouch, damn this thing.
BC scrunches his eyes closed. He presses the balls of his fists against the sides of his forehead. The headache backs off a bit. BC sighs in relief. The headache manages to remain at bay as BC is led by Bruno off the ship and into Wentworth Station. The surroundings are familiar, as Bruno leads him back up to the dining room he and Fiza had found themselves in almost 6 months earlier, the dining room with the large, C-shaped, semicircular table. Although BC can't help but feel a small sense of déjà vu as he's led into the dining room, this time the crowd is very different. No banquet this time. Sterner faces have replaced sycophants. Some of those faces are familiar to BC from his first visit, but most of the faces of those seated at the table this time are familiar to BC from the news. Arrayed around the table are most of the CEOs that make up the UTZ Council. BC is surprised. Wentworth speaks.
Father Campion, welcome. I trust you now understand why we've been so secretive and secure.
He gestures to those gathered around him at the table.
We are each targets in our own right. Collectively, we make an incredibly attractive target. That is why no one knows of our meetings until they've occurred. We gather together in person like this only seldom, and only in times of great crisis and need. This is such a time. Please sit, Wentworth says,
and BC sees that a chair to the right has been saved for him.
I'm sitting right next to Fujima. Cool, Japanese CEO. And there's Demag next to him. Wow, this is something. Rarefied air. Surprised I can still breathe.
He keeps his composure and nods at Fujima. Fujima looks at him and moves his head nearly imperceptibly.
No deference, I get it, fine. Not expected, really.
Father Campion, an amplified voice gets his attention. A gray-haired man opposite BC at the horseshoe-shaped table speaks up.
I am Klaus Folsom,
head of Folsom Industries and current chair of the UTZ Council, he says. BC marvels again at the hidden systems that allow him to hear the man sitting over 10 yards away. BC recognizes Folsom from the news and the dossiers he's seen. Welcome to our meeting, Folsom says. Thank you for accepting Mr. Wentworth's invitation. Hmph, BC says, trying not to laugh. Folsom turns.
Wentworth?
He asks with arched eyebrow. Wentworth merely shrugs. Folsom nods.
I see, Folsom says. As always, Richard's methods are nefarious, I'm sure. But he has gotten you here, and you seem none the worse for wear. Let me thank you, then, for being here, perhaps in spite of him, Folsom says, looking at Wentworth, then back at BC.
At any rate, we have business to attend to. We, the UTZ Council, are turning to you, as an acting Vatican ambassador, to help us restore relations with the Holy See. Our usually stalwart and reliable ally, the New Catholic Church, has become incommunicado of late, Folsom says, laying it all out in the open. As I told Wentworth, I'm not sure there's much I can do, BC tells Folsom across the gap. I don't know if I can help you. They're not talking to me much, either.
Yes, he told us that's what you had said, Folsom says, insinuating BC has not told all.
BC shakes his head. Look, I'm not lying to you, he says. I have no reason to. I've pretty much been on my own since Pope Peter was killed. I've kept the Vatican mission on the moon operating, rebuilt the place from the ground up after the UIN beat the living shit out of it last Christmas. But for all intents and purposes, it's now an independent operation. After the attacks, the Vatican put me in charge as acting ambassador and told me to rebuild. And then they went quiet.
Quiet. Quiet. Quiet.
The silence echoes with the word quiet, as the sound of BC's voice is relayed around the table and echoes back off the chamber's distant walls. After a brief pause, he continues. My communications haven't been answered, he tells them. I make reports, send them in, but hear nothing back. BC shakes his head. Don't know what else to tell you.
Did you know?
DeMag begins, and then clears his throat. He sits to BC's right, on the other side of Fujima. BC turns to see him speak.
Did you know that you are the only OPO operative that we know to still be alive, Father Campion?
BC tries to hide his surprise.
What? Really? They can't know about Mbeke, then, can they?
There are a few others we suspect of being OPO, but their membership has never been confirmed, DeMag continues. Probably why they're still alive. But the agents we know, and we in this room, Campion, DeMag looks around at his fellow CEOs, we know many. You are the only one we know to still be breathing. You're high profile, but lucky. What is your secret?
What did he just say? That headache is starting to come back on strong. Shit. Gotta keep it at bay. Not now.
Are you all right, Campion?
Wentworth asks.
Headache? We all know about your headaches. What a terrible affliction for an assassin.
Shit.
You didn't... BC starts to ask.
Nothing's been done to you, Campion, Wentworth assures him.
Nothing but club me over the head, BC says, as he tries to will the headache away. Folsom speaks up.
Gentlemen?
Ah, it's going away. Good.
It's nothing. I'm fine. I'm fine, BC says, trying to regain his composure.
What happened to the OPO, Father Campion? Fujima asks from beside him.
BC looks at him directly as he answers.
I don't know, sir. Maybe it died when Pope Peter died. I've heard nothing. As I told you, I've been running pretty much an independent operation the last 3 months. keeping up appearances? Folsom asks, drawing BC's attention back in the other direction. He turns. I suppose so, BC nods. Finding something to do? Finding a way to move on? To honor the dead by rebuilding, not giving up? That sort of thing. Governor Mark, former Governor Mark Edwards of Lunar Prime encouraged it. Folsom nods. So, you're independent now. Why not join us? Come work for us. Give up the charade, he says, gesturing at BC's collar and clothes. You could do well in the UTZ security force. Really? BC replies.
Don't want to sound too eager. Don't really want to do it either. Wonder how serious they are. See if I can get away with playing dumb.
What, would I get my own ship? Make me a captain or something? BC plays the chucklehead. Folsom chuckles. Not exactly. What then? We want you to stay where you are. Keep doing what you're doing for now. See what the Vatican does. Watch the Vatican through your special channels. And then report back to us. You want me to be a double agent? BC asks them.
Wentworth leans forward and speaks.
How can you be a double agent when we're all on the same side?
That kind of fuzzy logic is going to bring my headache back. At least they're buying the dumber version of me that I'm selling. So far, we'll see.
Interesting. Can I think about this? He asks Folsom. Or will you have Wentworth and his goons persuade me again? Folsom shakes his head. Persuasion only goes so far. You're of no use to us as an agent if you're working against your will. The rest of us don't necessarily agree with Mr. Wentworth's methods, he says, finishing with clear disdain.
You may not like my methods, Wentworth says to Folsom, but you always like my results.
I like what works, Folsom agrees. Everybody uses everybody else, Father Campion. Make no mistake. But it's nothing personal. It's just business. Sad outlook you've got there, BC says, despite himself. You think so? I think it's realistic, Folsom tells him. Think about it. We all use each other, that's life. Varying degrees of use and utility, Father. We like each other only insofar as we are useful to each other. Even lovers are really only useful to each other, perhaps in the most sublime of ways. But it is still utility all the same. Mutual utility. The use to which you put a lover is to make you feel good, to feel wanted, to feel loved, whatever that means. So why not agree to use each other?
Well, sure, maybe I'll work with you, but I'm not going to fuck you, so don't get any weird ideas, BC jokes.
The table erupts in a dull roar of chuckling. Does that mean you are with us? Folsom asks him as the murmuring dies down.
Calling my bluff. Might as well play through.
Sure, I'll let you know if I hear anything. BC looks around the table. Does that mean I can go home now? Home being where? Folsom asks. BC laughs. You know, that's a very good question, he says. But these days I guess I mean the Vatican mission on the moon. I built the place, so I guess it feels like home. Sure, you can go, Folsom says. We'll have Wentworth's people bring you back.
Yes, and then we can get on to the next agenda item, Wentworth says. How does it feel to be just another agenda item, Campion?
Wentworth tries to push BC's buttons. Folsom shuts him down. You are always so kind, Richard, he says. Please see that Father Campion is returned safely to the moon. Without another bump on the head, if at all possible. Thank you, Father Campion. You are of more importance to us than Richard lets on. You are useful, at any rate. For now. Great. So, how do we get in touch? How would you like me to report to you? BC asks. Contact us through Wentworth. Let him know when we need to talk, and he'll arrange a meeting or whatever is appropriate. Folsom turns to Wentworth. Won't you, Richard?
Wentworth nods to Folsom.
Absolutely.
He turns to BC.
I'll have Bruno see to it on your way out. We'll give you one of our secure comm units, for emergency use only.
Thanks, BC says, trying not to let his sarcasm slip through. So, BC looks around. I can go? You can go, Folsom says.
Bruno!
Wentworth bellows, aided by the amplification. Bruno appears.
Please escort Father Campion back to the ship, and then back to his place on the moon. We want to be sure he makes the trip safe and sound. Don't let a hair on his head get mussed,
Wentworth says, with sarcasm of his own. BC gets up, surveys his surroundings a final time, and then turns and walks away from the table full of the most powerful people in the solar system.
In the universe, maybe. At least, in our universe, they are. But I think I did okay. Held my own. At least I survived.
BC and Bruno make their way back through the station corridors to Wentworth's waiting ship. BC looks around the station as Bruno guides him.
Don't see any other people, really. Wonder where Fiza would be. Can I get free of my buddy Bruno here long enough to look around?
Hey, is there a place I can go to the bathroom? BC asks the goon.
You can go back on the ship. We're almost there, Bruno grunts.
Maybe I could make a break for it.
Hey,
Bruno grunts at BC.
Slow down.
Somehow, that doesn't seem to be a viable alternative either.
BC walks on ahead of Wentworth's thug.
Not this time, then. But now that I know you're alive, Fiza? I'll what? Rescue you? Come back for you next time?
Bruno sticks by BC's side all the way to the airlock. He shuts the airlock door behind BC as he boards the ship to leave Wentworth Station.
Next time, then.
That was Chapter 5, the second part of Chapter 5 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. OBC has met with the most powerful people in the universe, and he's not that impressed. At least he knows Fiza is alive. And actually, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. Wentworth is lying to BC about what she's up to, as you'll find out later. So, it's not really quite as horrible as it seems. Now, unfortunately, BC also keeps getting those headaches, and we don't know quite what's going on with those. But what awaits him back at Lunar Prime, back under McIntyre's rule? He's the Vatican ambassador, so I guess he'll have to go ambassador something. So we'll find out what that is on our next episode with Chapter 6 of Vatican Ambassador, coming your way on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma. and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.